We don't view any trade-off on account of embracing diversity and augmenting diverse representation at the leadership seat. In fact, based on our pipeline and the conversations that we've had with the high-quality investor entrepreneurs we've underwritten, we would argue that these individuals have more humility, more grit than the average investor on account of their diversity.
Welcome to the Money Maze podcast. I'm Simon Brewer, and Will Campion and I have created this show to explore and unravel some of the mysteries surrounding the investment business. You can keep up to date by visiting moneymazepodcast.com, and please sign up to our newsletter to ensure you won't miss a release. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe, and we'd love you to tell a friend or colleague about it. Thank you for listening. In the world of alternative assets, TPG almost needs no introduction. Founded in 1992 by Jim Coulter and David Bonderman, their first offices opened in San Francisco. Less well known is their significant push into backing and investing the next generation of underrepresented alternative asset managers. The investment industry has been grappling with ESG and sustainability questions. But if the industry turns the mirror on itself, the data shows it looks significantly less representative of the societies in which they operate. That should be no surprise, for finance generally has been a less pluralist occupation forever. So TPG has decided it wants to address this and has put its money behind it with a plan, and with Culpers providing $500 million of financing for the name of something called TPG Next, which of course may make terrific social sense. But what about the investment implications? So today we're welcoming two guests to be able to discuss this from TPG. We have Pamela Pavkov and Anilu Vasquez Ubarri. And we're going to hopefully have a very interesting conversation where we can bring up and discuss a number of these aspects. And we haven't had this conversation before on the Money Biz podcast. So of course, it probably is emblematic of the fact that TPG is early in this voyage. So one of the things we love to do is just get a little reflection on the upbringings and backgrounds and journeys that our guests take before we get into the substance of the conversation. But I would like to ask you both to do that, but I'd like to ask it with you looking through the lens of what it is you think that particularly resonates in your backgrounds with this strategy. So perhaps I can start with Pamela.
There are a couple of things that make us very excited to bring TPG Next into the private markets ecosystem. For me personally, it really starts as having been raised in a first-generation household, being female in private equity, and experiencing otherness in various forms throughout my investment career, and experiencing that as a challenge in some respects, but also as an asset and opportunity to provide a differentiated perspective. And I think what Next is seeking to do is leverage that otherness of the underrepresented principles and transform it into a key differentiator of their firms.
But I'm not going to let you go without mentioning that you have an MA in English from Stanford and you have an MBA from Stanford Graduate School of Business, which is not trivial. But why were you drawn to this extraordinary world of finance with all of its inconsistencies and complexities?
I love investing, and I was fortunate to be trained at some excellent organizations to learn the investment activity. But fundamentally, I'm passionate about people and underwriting humans and their character, what makes them tick, what defines their values. And Next is fundamentally a journey in which we're seeking to partner with really exceptional people and captivating visionaries. And I do think my background as a poet lends itself well to that exercise.
I'm going to turn to Anilu Vasquez Ubarri, which I have to say could be the name of a James Bond heroine. It's an absolutely fantastic name. Tell me a little bit about your story.
I was born in Puerto Rico and grew up in a wonderful environment where everything was possible, according to my parents. And they instilled that in me. And I think that has driven me to just jump in and try things that maybe seem out of reach. If I just look at the context and the history before me, I have been used to being the first one or the only one in rooms. I know that a lot of people, that message and that experience resonates. As Pamela said, I don't think that's a negative. I think you're memorable. You just said my name. You've met a lot of people that have that name or that combination, but everything in it is who I am. And I think that that possibility has been installed in me because the reality is that I've had people that believed in me and that have been mentors. So it started with my family, but in school, in my jobs. And so TPG Next, at the end of the day, is there's an inefficiency in the market and we see the commercial opportunity. We have something to contribute to it, but we know that no one gets to success on their own. And we at TPG have not gotten to success on our own. And we know that our TPG Next managers need the acceleration of their goals. And that's what we're here to do.
Well, we're going to unpick a lot of this. And I see that you studied at Princeton. I visited Princeton last year for the first time. It was a hallowed and magnificent institution to visit, let alone to study at. And you were at Goldman Sachs for 11 years. So between you, you've got lots of very interesting experience. Just high level, TPG, I know you've just announced the acquisition of Angelo Gordon, but your CEO, John Winkelried, who became the sole CEO in 2021, has said that the aim of the company is to drive meaningful long-term value and leave our companies healthier than when we invested in them. And I wonder just maybe from each of you, one sentence, how you would describe the culture at TPG. And let me start, Pamela, with you.
It's an exceptionally entrepreneurial place. I think what excited me about joining TPG is that this organization is comprised of change makers that seek to lean into systems change and leverage all of the resources of a large established firm towards that disruption.
And I need it.
I think obviously entrepreneurial, nimble. We're very disciplined also as investors at this firm. We're thematic. We go where we think that we have a right to win because of our expertise, our networks. And those areas may be neighborhoods that others have not yet discovered or may not want to travel because we travel with a great team. The combination of our experiences on the investing side, on the operational side, on the infrastructure side of the business allows us to do TPG Next, for example. So we can go and put an idea to work faster because our people know how to be thoughtful, but also move fast.
So I'm definitely going to hold you both there for a second because your CEO said the real issue is the lack of diverse people sitting in the capital allocation seat. Pamela, so help me, the statistic around assets versus population.
So 1.4% of U.S. assets under management are managed by individuals who are ethnic minorities versus more than 40% of the broader population. Ethnic minorities are one of the diversity cohorts that TPG Next seeks to invest in, but fundamentally, we're in the business of narrowing that gap.
This whole thinking has been in fruition for a long time because I believe the firm adopted a global ESG performance policy in 2012, and you've had various reports, including your one of last year, which I did look at, which says that now there's more than $1 billion under management directed at impact investing businesses. But just tell me a little bit, ideas don't get born overnight for new strategies with large amounts of capital and a lot of visibility. And with it, of course, will come the spotlight and accountability. Just tell me how you got here.
I can take that because I call Pamela's arrival to TPG's the 2.0 of TPG Next. We have been working on TPG Next since I got to the firm. And I've been here 4.5 years. In fact, my first week at TPG, I went to the first meeting of what will then become TPG Next. My colleagues here, including John Winkelried, Jim Coulter, one of our founders, had been thinking about this because it was a natural continuation of, as you've said, we've had our hands on impact investment. We've had our hands in investing. We've had huge belief also that the firm itself needed to challenge itself to become more diverse, and that we also had to use our influence to diversify our ecosystem, which includes all of our portfolio companies. So it started really by looking inside the firm, working on things that would promote the diversity of our employee base, particularly at more senior levels. So you have 2 women of color at the partner level at TPG talking to you today. That has been the work of many people at the firm and many years of focus. And it also became clear, as we discussed, that there's this market inefficiency in the capital allocator seat that was going to be controversial for years to come if we didn't fix it. So we felt that we know how to invest. We know how to influence that ecosystem. We had started to influence our portfolio companies through the diversity of their boards. And so that had been an initiative that TPG had started in 2017. It grew from gender to race, ethnicity, LGBTQ status. And this project with TPG Next, which we started from our balance sheet, was the proof of concept that, in fact, there's no pipeline issue with respect to talented commercial capital allocators. We just need to make sure that we are going to where they're at and that there's an opportunity set for them to develop their businesses the way they want to, not the way that someone's going to tell them how to run it. So that's how it started from our balance sheet. And from there, we got a lot of conviction that we needed more capital, and we got great partners in CalPERS to give us institutional capital to start the journey. From there on, we're seeking other partners that believe in the mission and in the commercial opportunity of TPG Next.
Well, I hope you're enjoying this episode so far. We've got lots more to come, but a quick pause. Bremont is also a sponsor of the Money Maze podcast. Bremont is a British company based in Henley that was established 20 years ago by two young brothers whose dream was to design and engineer beautiful chronometers. When Giles English, one of those brothers, appeared as a guest on the Money Maze podcast last year, he brought to life the wonderful history of British watchmaking, helping to explain why the world sets its time by Greenwich Mean Time, and he captured the incredible challenge of mastering the complexities involved in making exquisitely engineered timepieces. He has said, "Never judge one of our watches until you've held it in your hand and felt the quality." And both Will Campion and I have bought a watch, and we love them. Great innovation, a tangible love for their mission, resulting in beautiful, world-class luxury wristwatches. In addition, I'd like to quickly share a few details about Gain, who we're highlighting and supporting as our 2023 third quarter partner. Gain, which stands for Girls Are Investors, is a leading charity dedicated to improving gender diversity in the investment management industry. Gain currently has a team of over 1,000 volunteers dedicated to helping young women understand the industry and their potential careers in it. They're always open to welcoming new volunteers or sponsors who are looking to support their mission. If this is something yourself or any of your colleagues might be interested in, please visit gainuk.org to learn more, or just tap the link in the episode description right here in your preferred podcast app.
Harlem Capital in 2019 was our first investment of our balance sheet. It was a seeding investment. When we met Henri and Jared, they had raised $4 million through their own network. They had been hard at fundraising for a while. I had known them for a few years back, and I saw something powerful in them. They had a lot of conviction. They had worked together for a long time, even though they were very young. And they had purpose in what they were building. They knew where they wanted to go. And so we went through our underwriting process with them and decided that we were ready to invest in them. And sure enough, they closed their first fund a few months after that at their hard cap on the $40 million range. And they've raised their second fund at $134 million. So immense growth, and exactly what you would want to prove in this strategy, that if you give the acceleration capital and you become a strategic partner with these managers, everyone's going to do better. And the companies that they're investing in, the portfolio and the network that they're creating is also diverse in and of itself, even though we don't require our managers in Next to invest exclusively in diverse companies, just by nature of their networks, who they attract, that is true as well. So it has a multiplier effect, not only on the capital allocator seat, but also in terms of diversifying the entrepreneurial ecosystem that is so important for growth in this industry.
And also, I note that within your portfolio companies, I think there are 400 positions that you have implemented at board levels. Now, that can be tricky because there's an imposition at some point of established entities and owners that do things their way, and there's a higher set of objectives or a set of objectives that you have. How does that balance work between push and acceptance?
I'll give maybe, but I think Pamela should tell her philosophy that we've developed. They are the owners of these firms. That's the whole purpose of TPG Next. We are trying to create new owners of firms that are going to be multi-generational firms, hopefully, multi-funds. They'll grow their strategy. We are there to be their strategic partners. And we do bring expertise, advice. We've learned from our own mistakes as well. We have relationships on the fundraising side and a full house of internal capabilities that are at their disposal. But as I mentioned at the beginning, is to give birth and to grow the firm that they want to lead. So there are things that are important to us in terms of core values of that firm and the culture, and obviously in terms of them being commercial enterprises. But the strategy and the ownership and the leadership resides with the managers. Pamela, do you agree?
Fully. And this was actually a key area of discussion for us as we were contemplating Next 2.0. And I think the observation we've had that's only been underscored by our pipeline activity is that there is an exceptionally high volume of really talented principals who happen to be underrepresented, but are first and foremost really exceptional investors and leaders of their own businesses. We're looking to empower them to execute and give them guidance and support to help de-risk their firm growth and development, leveraging our 30-year history as a firm of building new investment businesses. But these are, as Ani Lu says, their businesses, not ours. And we want to invest in them on account of their demographic attributes, but we believe in them because of the skill set that they've cultivated throughout their careers as successful investors and executives.
So let's talk about implementation. You have got a very significant co-investment. You're committing your own capital. But if I have understood it correctly, this isn't going to sit within a fund structure, is it?
It is a fund structure. The Next 1.0 was off our balance sheet. At the start of this year, we launched TPG Next's inaugural fund pool, which is a commingled vehicle of CalPERS, and we expect other institutions as well.
So just tell me a little bit about how large you want it to be, because too much in the way of assets might just simply mean you're stretching too far to find suitable investments.
We think Next has the potential to grow into quite a large platform, but we're seeking to balance that scale with value add. We have been exceptionally helpful and available to our balance sheet managers, and we want to have that reputation with all of the managers we back through Next, where we are easily available and truly value add on the business building pieces of our role as their strategic partner. And that becomes increasingly difficult to do if you're spread across too many relationships. So where we intend to actually focus developing scale is by pursuing multiple transaction types with the same GPs. So investing with them across several funds, co-investing with them, pursuing secondary purchases with them, really helping deepen the relationship and knowledge across a much longer term relationship with the same set of principles.
And can you give me maybe one or two examples? And I think that would help listeners as well understand the types of investments that you've executed.
We have not activated the fund. Both of our balance sheet investments were venture capital investments that consisted of seeding relationships, meaning having ownership interests in the GP itself, making primary fund commitments, as well as co-investment in the case of Amos Ventures. So we intend to pursue all three of those transaction types, plus secondaries through the fund. And with respect to asset class, TPG Next's fund will invest not just in venture capital, but also growth equity, buyout, and credit.
Tell me a little bit about how you build the investment team to make sure you've got the right investment skills sitting alongside the right visionary skills.
We're really excited to be building the Next team, and it is a balance of individuals with principal investing experience, manager selection experience, seeding and staking experience, as well as all of the executive office functions. Our investment committee consists of Ani Lu as well as our CEO, and they're able to apply their leadership capabilities in running TPG to underwriting next managers. So we really have quite a complementary mix of skill sets that are being applied to the portfolio construction and investment activity, and actually have tremendously deep investment experience on the team that is leading next.
That's why we hired Pamela. This is a different investing. We are underwriting the firms, the track record, and the humans in it. And nothing will be more important than whether the people that lead the firm and are in the firm are able to deliver. So that's the first question. And from there, everything flows. And it's not just on whether they can deliver from a track record perspective, but as Pamela indicated, they're forming firms. These are organisms that do unruly things. And when you don't manage them well, it doesn't matter how good of an investor you are, you're not going to progress. So I think that we need to put this next in the context of what it is in terms of a seeding of a human capital business. John Winkelried has had investing experience himself in a number of these strategies on his own time, but he's also the CEO of a private equity firm. So obviously, he's very, very much experienced on the investing side. Pamela has built a career over 18 years underwriting manager. She was an LP, actually, of TPG Strategies before she joined the firm. So very familiar across many asset classes, has invested in emerging managers or some first-time managers, accelerated the trajectory of other managers. So Pamela comes to us with a very wide range of experience on particularly how you underwrite these portfolio managers. And the rest of the team is a combination of your typical private equity associate that we have on the team. And we've just actually extended and have an offer accepted with someone who has seeding and staking experience itself. The rest of our investment committee, Pamela mentioned, is herself, John Winkelried, and myself, Maya Carango and Steve Ellis, who are our partners who co-manage the Rise platform, who are also investors. And the way that TPG Next works is that that's the core team. We are the people sourcing, underwriting, reviewing, developing the relationships with these managers. At the end of the day, they're entrusting us with their baby that they've dreamed of and conceived over many years. So there's a big aspect of trust and what is it that we're going to add to the partnership. But when you put all that together, there's a lot of it that has to do with being an operator and how do you lead? How are you a CEO? How are you a founder? And those are things that a number of us have a lot of personal experience, professional experience, but also we bring the rest of the TPG team to bear as well.
I understand there's a whole de-risking as well as a capital introduction and strategic piece here. When you are asked about board composition, and we've had lots of conversations on the Money Maze podcast about neurodiversity, particularly in terms of optimizing boards, how do you think about board composition and what really, if you like, turbocharges or defines a really effective board?
Again, governance is one of the most important things that you need to take care of as you are scaling your business, your companies, because there's a lot on the accountability front, as you described, that if it does not get tended to early on, can cause serious issues and derail the best business strategy. Boards are also about bringing additional expertise to the table to complete and be an extension of the expertise of the CEO and the management team and that founder. So our portfolio companies across the different strategies that we have understood the value of that. We obviously take board seats in our controlled deals, but we have been able to add value by bringing great directors from outside of TPG. In addition to that, we decided that while we were doing that, let's make sure that that cohort is as talented and as productive as possible by making it as diverse as possible. And the comment that we get from our CEOs is, since we've had the diverse board initiative, is that they just simply have better boards because they're not leaving any talent on the table. Instead of just going to rinse and repeat to the same board member that they've known, then may not be coming from a different set of experiences, They have the benefit of a huge database that we have developed over the years. We've placed over 400 directors in our portfolio companies. And so the trend is clear. Obviously, there's a market, and we are just adding another way of being a valuable partner to our portfolio companies.
And when you're talking to investors, be it CalPERS or others, how are you thinking about benchmarking the performance?
We're very focused on this initiative, delivering commercial, competitive financial returns. That has been the foundational piece of this right from the inception and what really excited me to come to TPG and lead this initiative. We don't view any trade-off on account of embracing diversity and augmenting diverse representation at the leadership seat. In fact, based on our pipeline and the conversations that we've had with the high-quality investor entrepreneurs we've underwritten, we would argue that these individuals have more humility, more grit than the average investor on account of their diversity, and will seek to build successful organizations with more perseverance than your average investor, because they have often overcome pretty significant adversity to get to the place that they're in. So we're quite excited by the ability for this investment fund to deliver competitive private equity style returns.
Well, I hope you're enjoying this episode so far. We've got lots more to come, but a quick pause. We're delighted to have Schroders as a sponsor and corporate partner. Schroders is a global investment manager whose purpose is to provide excellent investment performance through active decision-making. For more than 2 centuries, Schroders has evolved their understanding of markets, offering investment solutions across fixed income, equities, multi-asset, as well as private markets through Schroders Capital. Schroders actively invests in companies with responsible and durable business models. They're also a leading specialist in impact investing for clients who want to maximize positive change. Capital is at risk with investing. Last year, I interviewed Gary Boom, chief executive of Bordeaux Index. Wine is a great love of mine, and as he explained, Bordeaux Index has become a major disruptor in the way that wine is bought and sold, and has sought to redefine the way a wine merchant works. I've been really impressed with their business and have been buying wine from them since that interview. So we're delighted that the Money Maze podcast is now also sponsored by Livetrade, their world-leading fine wine trading platform. Livetrade has changed the way fine wine is bought and sold worldwide. You can instantly buy and sell or place bids and offers on key wines from Bordeaux, Champagne, Italy, and other world regions. Their two-way pricing offers guaranteed trading liquidity with no fees. So I recommend you have a look at their website, Bordeaux Index/Livetrade. So I did note in your materials, and I was very persuaded at one level, very compelling story about finding individuals who have grit, have, as you said, humility to run these organizations. The investment industry is very data-driven at the same time. So I presume you're going to be asked the question, which is, that's fantastic, and I absolutely get that. But where's the evidence that higher returns are the output?
There's a lot of research in broader business that shows that diverse teams tend to be higher performing teams delivering better financial results. We have talent on our team that has a successful track record of underwriting better performing managers, and we're seeking to apply that skill set to the diverse manager ecosystem. And we've been fortunate to identify several GPs that are comprised of individuals with real track records, a history of working together as teams, establishing their comparative advantage in their sector and strategy. So all of those elements of manager selection apply. We're just focusing exclusively on teams that are majority owned by diverse professionals.
There's also plenty of research that is an application of that general research into investing in particular, where the performance of diverse managers is the same or better. They're outperforming their peers that are in the majority. So what we're really talking about is an inefficiency in the market, as I said, mismatch of talent and opportunity. We're not inventing a market. We're just going to a segment of the market that has been ignored by other pools of capital, and we're ready to invest in them.
Can we talk a little about the underlying assets? Because TPG is obviously known for private equity, I would say primarily, although you're in these four strands of the business. Can you just explain a little bit about how you think, for the portfolio level, you want to place your bets?
Our strategy will have an emphasis on buyout investing and leveraging the investment expertise of TPG. And in both our balance sheet investments, we have examples of partnerships that we've formalized between the next managers and the principals at TPG. What really, I think, differentiates our firm in launching this initiative is the eagerness of TPG principals to apply their skill sets to supporting next managers in their investment activities. So we've actually formed groups of principals whose day jobs involve doing deals at TPG that seek to apply their skill sets to supporting next managers in their underwriting activities. And this can involve helping them build conviction around investment themes at the macro level. It can also involve providing customer introductions, acquisition target conversations at the bottoms up company level for the next managers.
I got the impression that you've been very deliberate in trying to inculcate best practice to the firms that you work with. And I also read that you've actually had this program called Investors in Residence. Now, I'd love to hear how that works.
That was a program that we put in place for Landspire. It was the third manager that we invested in from our balance sheet. And for them, because they were coming from a background where they had not been inside an investing firm professionally, they had an ecosystem where seeking to do investing activities, but they had not had the benefit of that. Whereas our Harlem Capital investment, they had been part of that ecosystem. Marcos Gonzalez, who was our second investment in Vamos Ventures, also himself was a private equity investor for many, many years and also an entrepreneur. So for Landspire, we felt that the value add that we could bring was to basically incubate that team. They were focused on real estate. We have a great real estate private equity group, and basically they were interns with them. They got also the opportunity to co-invest while they were there. So their network is incredible. They have a great sourcing engine. And they were able to source an opportunity that our team was really interested in and wanted to co-invest. So while they were in our program, which lasted 2 years, they also got the opportunity to interact importantly with the business building functions of our firm. So how do you run a finance operation? What are the legal implications of standing up your own firm? How do you fundraise? And being, quite frankly, within the firm, they also got to network with a lot of our employees and their own relationships. That is another solution that we felt while we were able to maybe invest in them or have our own fund as part of the transition. We wanted to try to see how would a program like that benefit people that maybe are trying to get into the investment world, and we could be good partners to them.
So Pamela, let's just ask you a specific question which comes back to the process, because I can see there are going to be a lot of people who would like to partner with you for obvious reasons. How do you manage that screening and evaluation process?
We've been very fortunate to now identify more than 400 GPs that qualify for Next, meaning they are majority owned at the management company level by diverse individuals and are investing in the strategies that we're seeking to back: venture capital, growth equity, buyout, and credit. From there, we've spent a reasonable amount of time, meaning at least a couple of visits and data room analysis on about 30 of those names, where we're seeking to build conviction around the quality of their investing experience. What is the depth of their track record? How strong is the attribution of that body of work to the principals that we're backing? Because those track records frequently come from predecessor organizations. And we actually do a fair amount of back channel research through that organization, as well as our own networks, to triangulate the veracity of that track record to the principals that we're in dialogue with. And then we spend a lot of time thinking about what differentiates that investment strategy. We're obviously all in quite a mature industry where there are many, many firms that look and sound like one another. And what new managers really struggle with the most is explaining to sources of capital what makes them unique. I know we struggle with that word.
I struggle with that word. You don't.
It's an overused word because often there is nothing unique, even when people say they're unique. But we're really trying to help these managers differentiate themselves because fundamentally they're forcing institutions to think about taking a leap of faith on a new organization as compared to an incumbent firm that maybe has had a multi-decade relationship with that source of capital. So the switching costs are very high. And part of our job is to be able to demonstrate with conviction to the market why this new manager is going to be a disruptive entrant and ultimate leader of their category. We're pretty far along in conversations with about a half dozen groups where we have had multiple discussions at our investment committee. That team has presented to our investment committee, and we're in the process of negotiating the terms and structure of what a long-term partnership with them would look like. At that stage, we really start to talk about the key principles of the partnership, because we're not just underwriting the manager and their quality, but we're starting to have them underwrite us and think about what could TPG bring to our organization that would help us succeed and grow more quickly than we are today. Through our balance sheet partnerships, identified five key pillars of TPG Next engagement with managers. Two of the five pillars are within investment activity, so helping managers underwrite deals either from the macro top-down perspective or the asset bottom-up perspective. The second investment pillar being operational value add. Often new firms don't have operational capabilities, and we are seeking to apply the skills and capabilities of our operational groups to the post-investment process of these next managers' portfolio companies. And then the three other pillars are actually where we've seen the highest level of engagement from our pipeline names. And it relates to all of the non-investment activities of launching your own GP that have unfortunately become incredibly time-consuming and expensive for new principals building their own GPs. They include capital formation, organizational infrastructure, and network synergies, which we generally define as helping new firms by putting the TPG logo next to theirs and having that open the door for conversations they would not otherwise be able to access.
Diversity is a word that's used a lot, but there's a lot of granularity underlying it. And I wonder whether you could talk a little bit about the components that make up diversity, because you're having to weigh these up as you think about growing the strategy.
We've applied the same definition of diversity to TPG Next as we do at the firm across TPG more broadly. And the four diversity cohorts that we've identified to qualify for Next include gender, so female, ethnic minority, LGBTQ, and US veteran. And our definition of what qualifies a manager is that the management company be majority owned by individuals who self-identify with one or more of those cohorts. It's a pretty high bar. There are various diverse emerging manager initiatives of varying criteria. And one of the early debates we had was what the number should be. We felt quite convicted in the desire to have all of these firms be majority owned by diverse principals. And we're pleased to see that in many instances, the number is much higher than 51%. Another key part of our conversations with these managers is regarding how they can not just qualify today, but stay majority diverse owned in perpetuity. One of the longer term goals of TPG Next is to help private equity become a healthier industry by reflecting the demographics of the consumers of the products and services that private equity supports at the portfolio company level. And it's very difficult to do that if you don't have alignment on demographics between the allocator seat and the end markets. So we really do believe, and we've been excited to see, that in many instances, we can help these managers recruit, retain, and groom talent that is diverse at the junior levels to continue to succeed within their organizations and hopefully help that organization stay diverse owned in perpetuity.
Thank you. I'd like just to pause on the co-investment by Culpus, because obviously it's an institution that almost needs no introduction, and it's made a significant investment in this venture. Could you talk a little bit about how that partnership came about and what the expectations are of each side?
We were very fortunate to engage in pretty meaningful accelerated dialogue with CalPERS. We've had a long-standing relationship with CalPERS across many other TPG investment activities. But this was really a conversation that was cultivated at the top between our CEO and CalPERS' CIO, who really saw eye to eye on the importance of diversity as a business strategy and the importance of augmenting exposure to new managers for large institutions. And we've been pleased to see that a lot of the investor engagement, in addition to CalPERS, are large institutions that are realizing they have insufficient exposure to new firms and that those new firms will become tomorrow's asset class leaders. And it is very important for them as long-term sophisticated allocators to be in the flow of new managers that are among the best. And we do believe that the diverse-led firms have a comparative advantage because they see the world differently. They have a unique perspective to share, and that differentiation will allow their organizations to disrupt and prevail over time.
CalPERS, they've been a great partner to us as a firm for many years and across many strategies, as Pamela said. They also are innovators. And I think that they saw in TPG Next an opportunity to do something that maybe others have been trying to do, but just from a different angle. And we're just doing authentically to what we can bring to the table. All the different strategies that exist in this space are needed. We are happy to bring to the market something a little bit different with the capabilities that a TPG can offer, and to do it in partnership with someone like CalPERS in their own reputation. As Pamela said, the other conversations we're having with potential LPs, we're trying to make sure that people understand that we can be a solution for them. They've been trying to, or have in the past, entered this space. It's a complicated space because, as you've heard from us, the underwriting process is time consuming. You have to get it right. If we can provide that part of the equation while they're still having exposure to this cohort of diverse emerging managers that are really going to take market share, it's our prediction. It's a very efficient way for them to do something that they really care about.
Because I'm a lover of military history, I just want to stop on one of those four strands, because nobody's ever brought that up on the podcast, which is US veterans. Love that idea. Tell me a little bit about how that is being developed as well.
US veterans is a category that, if you look across the US, by now, most corporations have recognized that is an underrepresented population in our financial services industry as a whole. They bring a set of experiences and training and skill set that is very much needed across the board. They're particularly useful skills if you're trying to start your own firm, actually, and if you're being methodical and disciplined about your investment strategy. So we think that is a skill set, because of the background, that has merit in terms of something that we should be paying attention to. We also think that is a population that in the U.S. many times is not just of veteran status, but they might have other cross-sectionality with diversity. We have a lot of the women that we've talked to who are veterans, Black, Hispanic, Asian, and LGBTQ. So it offers us the opportunity to have a cross-section of diversity. And obviously, there's a lot more in that population that comes, but that becomes relevant in terms of their experience, as I mentioned. We're trying to align our TPG Next portfolio with what we're asking of ourselves as a firm and what we're asking our portfolio companies.
So I'm going to ask you three closing questions. I'm going to ask it to each of you in turn. So Pamela, I'm going to start with you. What advice would you offer to young minorities thinking about finance as a career?
I would encourage them to find people that they can work for who are incredible teachers that like helping them learn. Ani Lu described early on that mentorship from people that believed in her was important. And I think that that is really critical in the early stages of one's career, particularly if you come from a background that maybe nobody in your family worked in finance or knows anything about private equity. If you can align yourself with organizational leaders and sponsors that really want to cultivate your acumen and teach you not just the deal business, but how to exist as a human, that can go a long way.
Great. Anilu?
Yeah, I would say two things. One, expose yourself to different experiences and people that think differently than you. You don't have to do it exactly how they do it, but you'll learn something along the lines. And then also run to the fire. If what you're working on is easy, you feel comfortable, it's just not going to make you grow. So go to where problems meet solutions and be humble enough to try to go and figure it out and know that you don't know all the answers, but that you have confidence that if you put the work in, you'll be able to be a problem solver.
Question two, how have each of you dealt with setbacks? Pamela?
I think setbacks are often opportunities to revisit the approach and come at the challenge a different way. So short answer is not giving up. Just keep trying to find a way to make it work, maybe through a different angle.
Personally and deeply, because you have to feel it. You have to let it sit in. And then take that as a springboard to pull forward and jump ahead.
And finally, who's the one person you would both like to meet and invite onto any one of your boards?
Queen Elizabeth would have been pretty awesome. If we want to go way back in history, I was a student of Shakespeare way back in my English major days. So she was pretty ahead of her times as a pioneer. So she's got my vote.
For me, it would be Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Supreme Court Justice and hero of mine on anything, at board, dinner, whatever invitation could be open.
So I have found this conversation illuminating and educational, and I have written down a number of things because you are breaking new ground here, because I think that there is a understanding about better boards have more neurodiversity. I think there's a recognition of the shortcomings of our industry. But I think developing an explicit strategy around it is going to meet some resistance and some seeking of clarity. And your thinking obviously is very well developed and you've been doing a lot of that. So I salute you for this endeavor because it's clearly fantastic and it could be groundbreaking if you get the momentum and create the attention that it deserves alongside the performance that you have seem to have no doubts that you'll be able to achieve as well. And I'm going to just quote three things that you said that I think is just great advice for all of us, whatever the age, is run to the fire. Thank you very much. I think that's something that is counterintuitive. People always say it, but it's that not giving up. This is the obstacles that are put in front of most of us who have been lucky enough and should be saying privileged in a lot of ways are nothing like the obstacles that are put in front of so many more people. And I think that the third observation was for young people to expose yourself to potential teachers and sources of inspiration. And I think it was Davy Arrow, who was a guest on the show a long time ago, who's become the world's most successful photographer. And he says, one of my questions to people when I'm interviewing them is, who's your hero? You have to have a hero. And that's essentially the same message. So Anilu and Pamela, thank you very much for being here today with the Money Maze podcast. We really appreciate the time you spent. So thank you.
Thank you, Simon. This was a lot of fun. And we really appreciate your excellent questions and thoughtful engagement on what we're seeking to accomplish through TPG Next. And we're excited to see where the journey unfolds from here.
Thank you, Simon.
Thank you for listening to the Money Maze podcast. For more information or to subscribe, please visit themoneymazepodcast.com. Hope to see you next time. All content on the Money Maze podcast is for your general information and use only and is not intended to address your particular requirements. In particular, the content does not constitute any form of advice, recommendation, representation, endorsement, or arrangement and is not intended to be relied upon by users in making any specific investment or other decisions. Guests and presenters may have positions in any of the investments discussed.